The first reading this morning is taken from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. The second reading this morning is John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray together. Eternal God, as we gather around your word, we pray that you would speak to each one of us this morning. Help us to hear what you are saying to us. And then, Lord, grant us your grace to respond appropriately. In Jesus' name, amen. I came across a lovely reply to a question that was asked of a lady who was 102 years old. "Do you have any worries?" To which she responded, "No, not now that I've got my youngest son into an old people's home." As we know, today is Mothering Sunday. The traditional festival dates back an awful long time, when there were very few holidays and children as young as 10 were sent away to work. And this middle Sunday in the season of Lent was designated as the time that children could go back to see their mothers and their families. And how traditions develop. The stories told that as children would go back to see their mothers, they would gather some flowers in the fields and bring that along to their mum. How traditions develop. Girls would bake a cake to show their mothers their new skills, like a simnel cake, as it was called. All these traditions we sort of carry on in different ways with this. I'm always conscious that Mothering Sunday evokes many different emotions for us. For most of us, I hope that we're able to offer gratitude to God for the love and care of our mothers to us. For some, sadly, their biological mothers weren't as loving and as caring as they should have been. For some, it brings deep emotion, thinking of our earthly mothers who have died, or for mothers who have lost their children, who are missed more than words can express. For those who are mothers, it perhaps brings thoughts of your children. Depending on their ages, you may be wondering how their lives will develop. What will they do with their lives in the future? For some who aren't mothers and who long to be, it can be emotional for other reasons. So whilst Mothering Sunday today in our culture is all about doing nice things for your mum — I'm taking my mum out for dinner tonight, by the way — the origins of it are all about returning to your home church, your mother church, on this particular Sunday. That's actually the root of Mothering Sunday. Allow me to be very personal for a moment. My home church is Ballyhome Methodist Church in Bangor. I was born into that congregation. I was baptized in it. I went through Sunday school there. I became a full member of the Methodist Church there. I became a local preacher there. I taught in the Sunday school there. I candidated for the ordained ministry there. As an ordained minister, I've had the privilege of preaching there, of baptizing there, of presiding at communion there. It's also been the place where we've shared in funerals as we've commended to God our family members, our loved ones. It's the church where my wider family circle attended every Sunday. On any given Sunday in church, we shared worship with both sets of grandparents. All my aunts and uncles and cousins were all there. Quite frightening. The Wall family dominated the congregation. Various family members served in leadership roles there. I hope I'm giving you something of the sense of Ballyhome as my home church. Now, whilst I'm not in Ballyhome today, I will be at the end of May. The Bangor and Hollywood circuit are going to do something new, seeking to bring life back into the circuit. That means three of the congregations will close its doors and join with Carnalee to seek to combine resources. Ballyhome is one of those congregations. So the 28th of May will be the formal closing date of Ballyhome Methodist, my home church. So you will understand I will not be with you that morning. I will want to be in Ballyhome as I give thanks to God for the spiritual nurture that I have received, not just from my parents, but from so many people and those who are gone on to glory, who have nurtured me in my faith. There's still a photograph that was taken, I think it was probably 1985, 1986. There was all of us from the Sunday school in that photograph. And not everybody was in the photograph. My granddad was Sunday school superintendent during that time. And I was chatting to my parents about this. My dad, who was secretary of the quarterly board, he has a freakish memory for these things. But he tells me that there were 196 children on the church books then. Mid-80s, 196 children on the church books. Now, not everybody obviously was out at Sunday school every week, Sunday by Sunday. But it gives you a sense, doesn't it, of the kind of numbers in the congregation that we had when I was growing up. Over that time, numbers have, of course, diminished. So we arrive at this point, and I'm in no doubt, and it's very natural that there will be sadness over the closure of such worshiping communities. Of course there will be. It's right to lament that large congregations some 30, 40 years ago are now having to combine resources with other congregations. And the other two churches that are closing as well are Hamilton Road and Queen's Parade, and no doubt they will have their own stories to tell. And they were, in their time, in their day, large congregations as well. So let me bring you back then to our local situation here in Sydenham. Today is our church anniversary. You see the banner behind me? And 1884 is the starting date on that. 21st of March, 1884, which is why we take this Sunday as the nearest to that date, as our church anniversary Sunday. It was the first act of corporate worship on that particular Friday. That's when the congregation here began, formally. Now, as we gather today as the community of God's people, we are thankful to God for those who have gone before us. Many of you will have stories of those who have served here so faithfully and sacrificially over the years. And this is an appropriate time to pause and to give thanks to God for their service and devotion. part of this church community today. And as part of that community, we join in the ministry of those who have gone before us. I love that phrase, we stand on the shoulders of giants. There are plenty of spiritual giants who have served here down throughout the years. We stand on their shoulders. We build on the work that they have begun. So we look to the future as well. As we also look to the past, we look to the future to wonder, prayerfully consider what God has in store for us for this next part of our journey. I invite you to hold on to these thoughts as we turn to our scripture reading in John's gospel account. We read of the seven words of the cross as John has them. And this is one of them, where on the cross Jesus looks at his mother Mary and says about his disciple John, "Look, here is your son." And then he turns to John and he says to him about his mum, "Look, here's your mother." Now, what was Jesus saying here? Was he simply saying that he wanted them both to look after each other after he'd gone? After all, in that culture, Mary would have been in a vulnerable position financially, having lost her husband and now about to lose her son. But there's something deeper going on here. As Richard Hoffler points out, these words seem to have a creative and sacramental ring to them, like God speaking out on the day of creation, saying, "Let there be light." They come not as a request, but as a proclamation. Something new is being created by these words, a new relationship between John and Mary. A new family is being established from the broken lives of all who stood and will ever stand before the cross of Christ. Then those words that are spoken in John's first letter. Look at the remarkable love the Father has given us that we should be called God's children. For in Christ, God has established a new family. We are sisters and brothers. We are God's children together. The author of this text reminding us again that these individuals in the faith at the very beginning, at the very outset, were not just declaring their individual faith and redemption in God, but also that together they were now sisters and brothers in Christ. They were part of God's new family. Acts is a wonderful book to read, giving us insight into the beginnings of the early church, how they structured things, how they got together, what they did. And they embraced this new lifestyle. And as children of God, they considered their relationship with each other under God. They regarded it as so important with each other that they had concern through communal living. They sold their possessions and along with those proceeds contributed their daily wage to the common fund, which was distributed to every member of the church according to their need. Haven't we become so individualistic in our society? We're reminded as the church, we are the family of God. We are incomplete without each other. We need each other as sisters and brothers in Christ. That's why we gather together week after week. That's why we share life together. We are united as sisters and brothers in this family of God. And this family of God was a strange bunch from the very, very beginning. Just look at the composition of the early church. former demon-possessed people, tax collectors, doctors, fishermen, political radicals called zealots, sons of thunder, doubters like Thomas, former prostitutes, people who came from a mixed marriage home, Gentiles, Jews, Samaritans, males and females, young and old, educated and not so educated, extroverts and introverts, rich and poor. It was a complete mesh of so many different people. What it was like at the very beginning continues today. We are a wonderful mix of people holding different theological and political views, people from different cultures and traditions. Only God could take all of us weird people and make us into one family. On this church anniversary, on this Mothering Sunday, we think about our home church where we received spiritual nourishment from an early age. Take that time to be thankful to God for those who shaped and nurtured your Christian faith. We think about our own families and, if appropriate, celebrate the godly influence of our earthly mothers. And we also, on this church anniversary, think of each other as our church family. On the cross, Jesus brought his mother Mary and John together. And so the Lord invites all of us to see each other as part of this wider church family. May we understand that we can be and are spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers and spiritual grandmothers and spiritual grandfathers to the children under our spiritual and pastoral care. As we are thankful to God for those who were spiritual parents to us and perhaps who continue to be spiritual people. I love that phraseology that we have in the church, that someone is a father in God. We talk about that, or a mother in God. And together we are sisters and brothers in Christ with our Heavenly Father as as the one who binds us together. The death and resurrection of Jesus wasn't simply about achieving salvation for us as individuals, but also has a wider impact on God creating a new family. And not just in the present, but we are united with those who have gone before us. And by the Spirit, we are united with those who will come after us. So thanks be to God for the church and for each other. I'm going to invite Sammy to come and lead us in our prayers, but let us hold a moment of silence as we give thanks to God for those who have shaped us in our own faith.